Well, wasn't the eclipse last Monday incredible? Wasn't it just so totally amazing? You know, it was way more momentous and a much more emotional experience than I had expected. You know, all across America, we gazed and we cheered and we wept and we celebrated this spectacular natural phenomenon. We were able to lose ourselves in the wonder of the eclipse because we understood what was happening. We knew the bigger picture. But can you imagine for a moment how it would be, and perhaps even how it was, for early humans to experience a total eclipse? Imagine the cave people going about their daily life, you know, hunting and gathering and maybe drawing on the cave walls, whatever they did, and one minute it's light outside, and the next minute it's pitch dark with no explanation. You know, suddenly the sun is gone, the temperature drops, and the animals are acting very strange. It must have scared the bejeebers out of them. Right? I mean, to them, it must have felt like the world was coming to an end. Well, we smile at this now because we know better. And yet, that experience of the cave people in the time of a total eclipse is the perfect metaphor for what we experience in times of great fear. So we're going along, living our lives as usual, and suddenly something unexpected and very frightening happens. And it throws us off. We become disoriented, and we may even find ourselves going into a place of darkness. We're trying to figure out what happened and what it means, so we make up a story about it. And the story successfully scares us even more, because we take what has happened and we extrapolate from it to try to make sense of it, just as with the cave people, assuming probably that this was the last light they would ever see, that they would now always be in darkness. We're unable to see, when we're in the grip of fear, this bigger picture. There is a bigger picture, but we can't connect with it because we are so gripped by our emotions. So here's a practical example. Imagine for a moment that you've lost someone that you dearly love, either through death or the end of a relationship. And it hits you so hard that you immediately plummet into grief and sorrow. You may even feel that you're having a dark night of the soul. It may seem to you like the darkness will never end, and that life as you knew it is over. But then one day, something shifts, and a shaft of light breaks through into your darkness like a ray of hope. It's very thin at first, but it begins to grow, and it grows and it grows. And eventually it is bright enough to illuminate your way to a renewed sense of peace and even joy. Well, looking back now, you can appreciate that, yes, indeed, you endured a very, very difficult time and a terrible loss. But you also know that it wasn't the end of the world, that you came through it, and more than likely you are stronger because of it. Because now you have the bigger picture. So we can count on it when we're in a place of fear that we're not getting the full story. Perhaps some of you have seen this acronym before. That fear is false evidence appearing real. Right? We believe what is right in front of our eyes, and we assign it a greater meaning than it really has. So in the case of the cave people, they're in darkness It's temporary, but they believe it's permanent. In the case of us, when we've withstood a terrible loss, we tell ourselves things like, I'll never be happy again. I'll never love again. No one will ever love me. And many, many unhelpful things. Well, it's understandable, but it's not productive. Because in so doing, we are letting false evidence be our reality. Right? It's just not true. It's not the truth of the greater picture. Because reality is not in these circumstances, however difficult or devastating or painful they may be, because this too shall pass. The wisest words ever spoken. This too shall pass. The reality is not in the things that come and go in our lives. It's in the space behind it, the spaciousness behind it, the greater context, the higher truth. Absolute reality is the wide open field of consciousness. It is the one power and one presence that sustains and unites us all. It is God the good. It is the true nature of our being. And if we learn to identify with and live in that awareness, we are less prone to assigning too much value to what is happening immediately in our lives. We're less prone to fear. And the less fear, the less suffering. And the less suffering we inflict on others. We were reminded a few weeks ago of the terrible consequences, indeed the tragic consequences, that can result from deep-seated fear. It was in Charlottesville. You're all familiar with it. Absolutely horrible turn of events when hate surfaced, violence broke out, and lives were lost. And if we look into that more carefully, we can see that at the core of it, at the root of it, was fear. Fear that fueled hate, and hate that fueled violence. We can see how it all erupted because of that. And in the wake of that and the aftermath of that, we've all been left to sort of figure out, why did this happen? What does it mean? And where is it leading us? So we've each created our own stories about it. And a lot of those stories are very, very frightening about what it means. I'm going to give voice to those fears because I think it's important for us to acknowledge them. Acknowledge the fears so that we can face them and move through them. So here are some of the fears that tend to pop up for those of us committed to oneness and love and unity. And the first fear is that these hate groups are going to grow and multiply and take over the country. The second fear is that all the progress we've made in civil rights and women's rights and LGBT rights, all the strides we've made toward equality and diversity and inclusivity, that all that progress will be lost, that indeed we'll revert to a time of unbridled discrimination and terrible injustice. And underlying that is yet another bedrock fear, that our country is going to change, that we'll abandon our founding principles, that we'll no longer be a beacon in the world for freedom and equality and democracy. All of these fears. And on any given day, we can choose to give in to them, or we can choose to rise above them. I believe with all my heart that Spirit is telling us that this is not the time to be afraid. This is the time to rise in consciousness and to help others do the same. That it is not that all is lost, it is that more work needs to be done. And we are being called to do it. After the events in Charlottesville, the spiritual leader and author Marianne Williamson spoke at Unity of Charlottesville, and she said something that was very clarifying for me. She said that milestone legislation and changes, such as desegregation, equal rights for women, gay marriage, that all of these were external signs of progress, but they did not mean that consciousness as a whole had shifted. I have to say, as a white person who does not experience the daily effects of discrimination, that I felt very naive to have thought that because we had made these milestone changes, that we were past all this. But clearly, we are not finished with, we have not conquered racism and sexism and homophobia and discrimination against transgender individuals and many other oppressed minorities. What it tells us is that there's work to be done. There's consciousness to be raised. There's change to make happen. And the overriding message is, don't give up. Persevere. Persevere. Don't believe these temporary circumstances, the false things appearing as real. Don't believe them. Don't give power to them. Hold the high watch. Anchor yourself in the higher truth of love. Well, fortunately, we have some very inspiring examples of spiritual leaders who show us the way and have shown us the way. Primary among them, our way shower, Jesus the Christ. Don't let anybody ever tell you that Jesus believed some people were superior to others. Urgh. That gets me. That some people were deserving and some people weren't. That's not the Jesus we know of. That's not the Jesus we're following. It doesn't even make sense. Because Jesus was all about unconditional love. He epitomized Christ consciousness. He exemplified the full expression of God in humankind and made a point of including everyone in what he called the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. He showed us the power of love. And he showed us, if we pay attention, he showed us the most effective way to raise consciousness and create social change: nonviolent resistance. We've talked about this before. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek, walk the second mile. He basically said, don't retaliate in kind. Outwit your opponent. Do the unexpected. And take whatever steps are necessary to hold on to your moral center and stand in your truth. And do not be moved. We shall not be moved. Incredible power in that. That's the power that can change the world. The power and the courage of our own convictions. Well, then, of course, Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. and Cesar Chavez, Rosa Parks, and others followed this example of Jesus, encountering and overcoming and winning over, conquering oppressive laws and practices by using nonviolent means. Oh my gosh, the most incredible courage. We can imagine that there were times when each one of those individuals felt terrified, felt very, very frightened. But they didn't give their power to that fear. They gave their power and their consciousness to the higher truth, to the presence of God, wanting to express more fully in our world. They anchored themselves in love. We can learn from their example. You know, sometimes, and lately I've been thinking, well, maybe it's that every new generation and perhaps the late adopters from the previous generations Maybe they need to relearn this lesson themselves. Maybe they have to re-experience it or even go through it firsthand to really know that violence is not the answer, that love is stronger than hate, that in truth we are one, and as Gandhi said, there is room for us all. You know, as we remember this ourselves, we become that light by which other people can see the truth as well. So this is the time to deepen our spiritual practice, to stay anchored and centered in God, to know the higher truth and not be fooled by passing circumstances. In any situation, we have the choice of fear or faith. As the great Unity author Martha Smock wrote in her book, Meet It With Faith, we can meet any challenge, any fear, any difficulty with faith. And she writes, even when it seems that we are misunderstood, unfairly treated, or unjustly condemned, let us not believe in the appearances. From Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you remember what Joseph said to his brothers? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. In every circumstance and situation, have faith that God means it for good. Have faith in God's power, love, and justice. Do not believe that you or anyone else can be separated from God's loving care, or that God's law of justice can be overthrown. These are the truths that we know. This is the higher reality. You know, Victor Hugo once said, nothing is more powerful than an idea whose time has come. This idea of oneness and love and inclusivity, the family of mankind united, is an idea whose time has come. And for those resisting, we must continue on so that they see it as well. And we can know, even in these circumstances that are so upsetting for us, that tend to throw us off balance, that in general, humanity is moving in the right direction. I was recently reading a book called The Better Angels of Our Nature by Steve Pinker, and he does this exhaustive research that shows that violence in our world has steadily declined. He also points out, by the way, that there are 6 or 7 times as many domestic terrorism incidents as there are international terrorism incidents. And he notes that terrorist groups rarely succeed and that all of them die, typically after 5 or 7 years. I say this not so that we just, oh, okay, this is going to pass, we'll just let it be. This is not about being passive. It's about being informed, and it's about being filled with faith in a greater good unfolding so that we can stand tall in that. We can know the truth of that. We can meet any situation with faith. It says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of what is hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You know, when we are connecting through prayer or meditation, where we're connecting with the presence of God, when we're having an experience of God, we are in fact connecting with the unseen. We're connecting with that something greater. It can give us the courage and the strength we need to stand up, to show up, to speak up when the time is right. And if ever we are going through a challenge that causes us to feel isolated and alone and a lack of hope, we can do something that we all did last Monday. We can look up. Was it not the most beautiful sight to see everyone looking up? And this image the great unifier. You know, when I saw that, Richard and I were watching NASA.gov, the live stream that was showing the experience of totality and communities as it moved from West Coast to East. And when that image came up, I just burst into tears. And so did Richard. And the thought that came to me was, when are we going to get it? When are we going to get it? It's time. This is the time. So I invite you, if you're ever feeling lost in your ego and your human troubles, to look up, to remember this image, to remember this image. We're all here together, here on this blue and green planet, spinning on its axis out here in outer space. There's a story from several years ago about an astronaut named Sultan bin Salman Al Saud. He was part of an international crew on one of the space shuttle voyages. And he said that the first few days in orbit, everybody on the crew was just focused on finding their country. And after 3 days, they were all about identifying the continents. And after 5 days, all they saw was planet Earth. That is the image to hold in our hearts and to live into. All the while knowing, in this great, absolute, incredible reality where we stand under the vastness of the sky and the stars and the universe, operating under principles we can't even fathom, can't even begin to comprehend, that through all of that is a message that God is good, that we are loved. And in the great unfolding everness of life, love prevails. Let's turn now to our meditation. Thank you. Let's just take a moment to breathe in, release and let go and let go some more. This is our time to release any thoughts or concerns, any fears, any distractions. And just feel this beautiful, beautiful, loving presence of God. We breathe in a little more deeply. Release and let go. And allow ourselves to bring into our minds this beautiful image of planet Earth. Having gone through more years of existence than we even know of, having continued in the most reliable and reassuring way to just keep turning. Feel in this divine order and divine blessing. And we take a moment to bring into our hearts and minds this beautiful country of ours, the principles on which it was founded that we hold so dear, and appreciate all the ways in which they have withstood challenges and the tests of time. All the ways in which doubt and opposition, and sabotage or undermining has fallen away, because these beliefs that all people are created equal, they are the truth. We breathe into that faith that sureness of knowing that we will come through whatever challenges before us, and we will emerge more united because of it. Now take into your heart your own beautiful life. Imagine yourself as the essence of spirit surrounding all the comings and goings and the ups and downs. Experience any temporary trial like a thunderstorm in an open sky. This too shall pass. Allow yourself to know, deeply know, and be reassured that love abides. And open yourself to whatever guidance is yours to receive in the silence. Today we choose faith instead of fear in whatever is before us. We vow to stand tall in the courage of our convictions, to take a moral stand, but to do it from a place of higher knowing, understanding, and compassion. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the way. So it is. Amen.